I'm Summer.
It's Haley.
And this is
Work Life Woo. Woo! All right.
It's been a long time.
It's been a minute.
It's been like over a month since we've recorded.
I know. It doesn't feel like it, but then at the same time it does.
Yeah.
Because we haven't done this in a long time.
It's been a long time since I've been on this futon.
Happy work life woo.
Work life woo.
Woohoo. So yeah, we've been off doing all the things and
yeah,
it's been a while.
Doing all the things. Haley's back from Denmark.
Yeah, I got to go to Europe where I'm going to move.
She went to Denmark and then came back and got COVID for a week.
Yep, it was totally worth it. But
do it again.
Do it again. Came back to a new president in COVID.
Oh, gosh.
We won't go into that. Okay. I won't tell you which one was worse. So, yeah, Denmark. Summer wanted me to do a little recap. And there is so much. Like, okay.
Wait, I want to preface by saying that Haley has these stories to tell me. And I have waited for this moment. And I've even thought, like, through the last two freaking weeks, I'm like, what are the stories I need to know?
I don't know if it's going to live up to the hype. But let me just set the mood because I've told you this already, but for friends at home, we flew into Copenhagen. First of all, I've, convinced my husband to go to Denmark because I've always wanted to go, to go to the Happiness Museum,
yeah,
the Institute of Happiness.
Did it live up to your expectations?
110%.
Oh, good.
Like everything about Denmark was just cute.
Yeah,
it was cute, and it was such a wild, weird kind of moment in life too, because I had so much, I think, expectations from when I was there in college, when I was not in Denmark but in Europe, and so I literally dreamt about for the last 10 years being back in Europe, and then I got to go back. And it felt surreal.
Mm.
And although, I'm a completely different person, I'm not gallivanting around with a bunch of European men.
Mm-hmm.
I have a husband. Mm-hmm. It's a totally different trip. But it was, definitely, a dream to go back. And I just felt so lucky. But we got into Copenhagen. Then we did the Happiness Museum. That was the first day that we did. The first thing we did on the first day. Oh my gosh, it was just so cute, all hoogly. And then we went the next, that night, did I talk to you about how we went to the museum or the amusement park
on Halloween? No.
Yeah. So on Halloween, we went to what I think is the oldest amusement park, either in Europe or
ever
on the planet.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's called Tivoli, which we couldn't get there. And I had to ask people for directions. Mm-hmm. And I walked up to them and they laughed at how I said Tivoli.
Oh,
I was okay.
Yeah.
Well, so anyways, we went there and we got to spend Halloween evening. And they had it decked out with pumpkins, everything. It was wild. Everything was just head to toe decorated in such a nice, pretty way.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so cute. Hans Christian Andersen, who wrote a bunch of fairy tales. He's from there. Mm-hmm. He's from Denmark. And so they had this whole thing about him there. And we did a ride with his stories. And anyway, so that was really, really fun.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I said that, but I guess because that's really what we did when we first got there. But then we went to the countryside. Mm-hmm. So Copenhagen is very much so not a New York vibe, but it is kind of the New York feeling. It's if you go into Dublin or Prague, any bigger city of Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And Stevie's bringing Summer her bone. And so it was a lot. So we were on the metro after we landed off the plane. You take the metro, which is underground, and we then get off the metro and we're following signs and we have all of our suitcases with us.
Oh,
we get onto an elevator. I don't know if I'm going up or down. I don't know. And all I know is all of a sudden the elevator door opens. No shit. We are standing in like what feels like the middle of Times Square.
Yeah.
And we come out of this thing that looks like the Willy Wonka glass.
Uh-huh.
You know, like the glass portal thing yes. that he drives.
Yes.
That's what we come out of in the middle of like a town, like a city.
With your suitcases.
Yeah. It was wild. It kind of reminded me of, like, Boston. Like, uh-huh. have you ever been to Boston?
Mm-mm.
Like, downtown Boston. Like, you walk out and it was like, boom. And we were like, what? And we were just like, this is wild.
Were you overwhelmed?
Or Nick, just... I think Nick was.
Yeah.
I mean, at that point, I think we were just exhausted
yeah.
from traveling so long.
I bet you felt, like, kind of crazy, like, from...
It was, yeah, like a weird...
Out of body.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you're on cobblestone. You're dragging along three suitcases. One that I could fit in. Like, it was massive. Oh, my God. It was crazy.
The imagery.
Yes. And everyone there bikes. Mm. So, it's like, for people who've been to Hilton Head... It is exactly like that, but on steroids again, because like they have bike. It's like everything's made to bike.
Mm-hmm.
So they have entirely bike lanes, bike lights, like everything.
Can I yes. make a comment? Yeah. I thought you said everyone bites.
Everyone's biting me.
And I was like,
bikes.
Everyone bites. So bikes. You have to run for your life no. down the cobble.
Oh my gosh.
Joan.
It's a vampire city.
Bikes.
Yeah. So, so adding that into like carrying our suitcases, whatever. We get to the where we're going. We spend a few days in Copenhagen and then we're like, every blog that I read told me I needed to go to the countryside.
Mm-hmm.
So we stayed in a town called Rudkøbing and it was like in the Isle of Langeland is what it was called. So it's like this like strip of small towns. I don't know how many. And so we get there and completely night and day, okay? Like, so yeah, you're going from like a New York vibe to like freaking the total polar opposite vibe. And it was amazing that we stayed in Airbnb. The hosts came and like welcomed us in. Like, before we even got there, she was trying to tell us that there was this festival happening. It was called the Festival of Light and Dark.
Mm.
So cool. So they have this festival, I guess, every year to honor the darkness because without it, like, they were just saying, like, everything needs darkness to, like, mm-hmm. thrive.
To enjoy the light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so cool. I was like, mm-hmm. I love you guys.
Yeah.
Count me in.
Yeah. That gave me chills.
I know. It was, like, so – they were trying to explain it, and it's, like, they just respect it so much.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, oh, it was great. So, they're telling us – they give us a whole, like, flyer, basically. It's, like, a poster of all the events mm-hmm. that are happening.
So cute.
I know. And she's like trying to translate. She's like writing on it. And I'm like, thank you so much. Although I just ended up taking a picture and using Google Translate like of everything. But one thing she did say was, so tonight, because we got in on like a Friday morning. So she was like, tonight is the torch walk.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, oh, that sounds cool. So she was like, yeah. So, you know, you kind of, you like walk around with candles and then you go into the forest and you listen to live music. I was like, oh my gosh, that sounds amazing.
This sounds like a dream come true.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, not to mention this little town we're in is like the Shrek town.
Yeah.
Like it's so cute mm-hmm. and so charming and just so small. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm like, that's amazing. Like mm-hmm. we have to go to that. And so, you know, they leave. Nick and I are like getting settled. We walk around the town. We go to the cheese lady. Like they have like kind of – they had like a – they have two supermarkets – which were all very fresh and like the pastries were amazing. And then they had like we kind of went around to get like different things to make charcuterie basically.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So then that night I'm like, okay, we're going, right? And Nick's like, yeah. And the sun's like, it's completely dark now. Another part of this festival, every night during that weekend, they turn all the city lights off for like 10 minutes.
Why?
To be in the dark.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they don't turn your like electricity off in your house.
Yeah.
But one of the nights we were actually out and they did it.
Mm-hmm.
It was so cool. It was just like dark. And it's like really dark out mm-hmm. there. But you can then see like all the stars. So anyways, so we're going to the torch walk. And all we know is that it's in this forest. Okay. Mm-hmm. Nick is like guiding us. And again,
is
small,
this the story?
Small town. This is one of the stories.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Small town. Right. And so literally like we're walking and I see people and everyone's going left. And Nick's like, all right, here we go. And he goes right. And I'm like, Nick, but all this. He's like, no, it's like we need to go this way. And I was like, okay, maybe those people are just going somewhere else. Think, no, like if you see a person, they're like definitely doing what it is that's going on that night. Like that's just how it is. So we go the other way. We start walking. Like at this point, we're like walking kind of like in between houses. And then you walk up on this like cute windmill thing, and there were like people in that. And so it wasn't like we were alone. Well, then you like, Nick's like, okay, we got to keep going down this way. So we go down, and now we're like on a trail in the pitch black. And it is like what I don't know because I couldn't see anything. It is just a trail, what I think is like behind houses. And again, I can't see anything. So I'm like, what is happening? Like, what? I'm like, are you sure this is right? Like, where are we going? And he just says, Nick is just like, it's fine. Like, we're just gonna, it's up here. Like, we're gonna keep going.
Did you have your phone flashlights or
Yes, but it
okay?
was so dark that it wasn't doing anything. I couldn't see in front of me. Like, I was like cupping my phone to try to get,
This is terrifying.
Summer. Like, you know how I am. I'm usually like down for a good time. I was straight up almost having panic attack. Nick was worried. He was like I literally was like, I don't think I can do this because we get to a point where we're continually walking into darkness because we're going into a forest and we're thinking we're supposed to meet people. So like we just keep going. I'm like hearing things. I don't know what's around me.
Haley, this is
It
terrifying.
was terrifying. So then like we walked on that for probably a good what felt like 10 minutes. And the whole time, every minute closer, I'm like genuinely about to like start crying and throw up because I'm like, this feels so wrong. I can't see shit. I'm like, we are going to be the only people in Denmark that get murdered. Like, this is what's happening right now. Okay. So then Nick's like, okay, wait, put your phone down, put your light down. And I said, okay. And like, if you squint your eyes, you can see like a light in the forest. Like, because we're coming up, like, imagine like huge trees, and you're standing on the outside of the forest. So we're coming up into the forest, and I'm like, this is so effing scary. I was like, this better be it. And sure enough, we're walking, we're walking, we're walking. We turn a corner, and all of a sudden, you can see some like torches, and we're like, oh my God. Okay. Well, we walk up, and Nick's like, I don't know about this. And then I'm like, oh, now you want to turn around. So apparently, I don't know what happened, Summer.
Were they naked?
No, but when we walked up, there was one guy in a distance, and he looked like he was wearing a pig mask. And Nick turns to me and goes, oh, fuck no, nope. And I blacked out and I beelined it for this guy. I don't know why. I was like, I looked to Nick and I said, he looks like he's wearing a pig mask. Go for it. Like, I don't know. And then he was talking, but I couldn't hear him. And the whole time he was saying, he was like, no, we're turning around, we're turning around. And I was like, boop, boop, boop. Like, we're going for it. Oh my God. And he wasn't, okay, he was not wearing a pig mask. His name was Olaf. Like, Olaf.
Naturally.
Naturally. But we walk up to this man. He's got his, so what it was it's a headlamp on. At all. I was like, oh, this is being way worse. We walk up to this man. He is like just as like probably scared or confused. Okay. And you know, the way you say hello in Danish is hi. And so I'm like, hi. And then he's like, hi. And then he's like, started talking. And then we're like, oh, do you speak English? And he's all of a sudden, he's like, wait, what? Why are you here?
Well, because it's also like a little bitty like country town,
Yes.
right?
Yeah. Like one of his, he was
Oh my.
so nice, so kind, but like he was, of course, he was like,
Confused.
admittedly, like, so how did you find out about this event?
What
Like,
brought you
why are
here?
you here? We were like, oh, our Airbnb like people host told us about it. And he was like, yeah, well, they should all be here in a minute. And like, sure enough, like not even 5 minutes later, the entire town with torches in hand that they passed out walked through the forest. I'm like, well, that would have been a moment.
So y'all should have followed the people.
Yes. Oh my gosh. And then so then everyone comes. They're all singing in Danish. They sing like three songs together. And we're just kind of like sitting back now. And then they had a classical music band playing, and it was actually
Oh.
really, really pretty and very like they were playing like they played like a Les Miserables. I can't remember which song it was, but like it was like well-known music, that classical music that I actually knew. So that was probably the weirdest thing that I think happened now that I'm thinking about it. But yeah.
It is impressive to hand it to Nick that he got y'all there.
Yeah, I know.
Like he did know where he was going, it seems like.
Yep. I don't know. I mean,
But
he was looking at his phone the whole time, but just like, yeah, I have no idea.
yeah, it's so bizarre. But that's just one of those stories too that like it's just like you can't explain the experience. Like
No.
it's just like
It
you're
was
in
crazy.
Denmark in a forest
Yeah.
in the countryside. And you beelined it for a man that you thought was in a
I
pig
know. I know.
mask.
I was like, what is my game plan? Like,
Nick said, nope.
no.
What?
I was like, wow, we switched roles real quick.
And you said, hello, sir.
I don't give a shit. We're going for it. Like, oh gosh.
Hi.
Hi. Oh, hello. Okay.
You said, do
He's like, I'm concerned again. Like, why are you here?
he's like scared of
I
you.
know. I know. And then, of course, I feel like everyone you meet in Europe is always like, New York, New York, New York. And like, he had been to New York a lot. That's what we talked about. But yeah,
Isn't
Ola.
that so funny that that's like, I guess it's just because what you think of when you like Statue of Liberty.
I guess,
Yeah.
yeah. I don't know. I think, yeah, it's just like a huge, like, historical
Hub.
place that
Yeah.
people want to go to. So, but, and then we did the whole countryside living for a few days. It actually was, there were trying times. It was a little bit difficult. Everything we went to was like closed. Like, we couldn't go to any of the castles. They were all closed.
Why?
I think the season that we went was not too good. And then there were like, it was just weird. Like, what the town that we were in, we were there on a weekend and they take their weekends very seriously. Like, they are not open. Like, half the things aren't open in the
Wow.
small town on the weekend.
Were restaurants open?
A few, yeah.
Yeah. So did y'all cook at all?
We did. Yeah,
Aww.
I cooked a Danish casserole one night. It was so good. We went to the market, yeah, and got a lot of food. And then we did have like one night out in that town where we ate out, and it was like really, really cute and very like hoogly. But really, I think too, the biggest thing that we loved was, and I think I already told you this, but the style of food or the style of eating. So we went in Aarhus is the city that we went to before we headed back to Copenhagen. And there we went to this really, really hoogly restaurant, very cute. Everything is tapas style. So you order for the table. And it was like, I think it was probably like almost 3 hours long dinner.
Wow, I
Yeah.
love that
But it was,
though.
yeah, it was just like chill, like one after the
Not
other,
rushed.
not rushed. Yeah. And then like,
Time to digest.
yeah. And just like enjoy and like talk. Like they're so super intentional with their time and like how they spend it with people.
Love that. Yeah, it sounds like
Yeah.
such a great trip.
Yeah.
So how many, you were there for 8 days?
9 days,
Nine.
but really just seven because it took us like a few days to travel.
Any crazy airport stories? What happened when you got, did
No.
you get your boarding passes and everything fine in
Yeah.
London?
Oh, okay. Okay. So I do have a crazy story.
Turbulence too.
No, it was fine.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Love
And
that.
the way there, the 8 hour flight was the longest one, and I slept the whole way. The one on the way back, I just watched Harry Potter the whole way. So on our way back, though, on our flight from London to Philadelphia, okay, there was this guy. He walked like in coach or whatever. So I remember like he walked past me and he talked, and I was like, you're like, I know he's a famous person. Like, I don't know what's going
Oh,
on. I don't know who he
you just
is.
knew.
I knew. And so he was only sitting, though, like 4 rows ahead of me. And luckily on that flight back, like, there was not that many people on this massive plane. So, like, everyone was like, got a whole row to themselves to, like, him. It was him and his bandmate, and I knew it because I'm like, I can like pull these people out. Like, I'm like, I know you guys are.
It's like an energy.
Yes. I'm like, you guys are in a freaking band. I don't know what it is. And the whole flight, I can't look it up. I'm telling, texting Nick. I'm like, what if this is Beck? What if this is like someone from the Black Keys? I'm thinking he looks like Matt Schultz from Caged Elephant, but a different version. And then is, I'm like, I don't know who these people are. So, and they definitely were hungover.
Oh.
Because they were like sweaty and then like spent a lot of time in the bathroom. So clearly I had a lot of time on my hands to watch these people. I was like, So we get off the plane. No, I didn't.
Okay.
I don't, yeah, no, I didn't buy. But we get off, as soon as we land, I do like start trying to Google and I'm like, God, I need a picture. I'm texting my friend Taylor. I'm like, Taylor, who looks like Matt, but is older. And I'm like trying to figure it out. So, you know, we go through, we're like parting ways. We're like figuring out our luggage because you have to recheck your luggage. And I look over and sure enough, they're rechecking like so much equipment. Like band, like equipment. But also I'm like, you can't be that famous if you're like doing your own shit.
Yeah.
So I was a little confused.
And in coach.
But I'm like, maybe they just needed to get there.
Yeah.
Like, and it was from London to Philadelphia. Like, I don't know. Maybe not. But if they weren't super famous, they're definitely still in a band.
Yeah.
That's all I know. And so we get past the passport, whatever it's called, border patrol. And I'm still like locking in with these guys and I'm like watching them and I tried to like, so then I'm like, I'm gonna take a picture of them. So I'm like trying to nonchalantly take a picture of them so I can then Google search them.
Nothing
like came up from it. Like, so I got mysterious. like Taylor was like, it looks like Mick Jagger mixed with like, what did she say,
show me some the other picture
guy. Yeah,
we'll post it on Instagram.
I know. I'm like, who is this guy?
We'll post it on Work Life Woo. Insta.
Yeah. Somebody solve this for us.
He gives rock star.
And like they were wearing multiple hats. I don't know. It was weird.
Multiple. Like they've got a lot on their plate.
Like two hats at once. Yes. I don't know. No, like physical hats. Like they were trying to hide. I don't know. It was weird. So yeah. Those are my stories.
Well, that is all so – sounds like such a cool trip, such a cool adventure. Yeah. I literally – because, you know, I've never been out of the country yet. Going to the Bahamas next year.
Yes. But, are you really? Oh, my gosh, hell yeah.
Did I not tell you about that? The family cruise?
No.
Oh.
That would be so fun.
Okay, well, I'll have to tell you about that.
Yeah.
But going on my first Carnival cruise.
Yes. Oh, you're going to like it.
I swear I told you.
Mm-mm.
Okay, well – But anyway, I like had thoughts where whenever I would think about y'all and I'm like, Haley's just in another country in like a little bitty country town. Like, it's just, it was a crazy thought.
It's crazy. And it's crazy because it's so doable now.
Yeah.
Like to just be in another country.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, it takes money and time.
But yeah.
Like, but really, not crazy. The logistics is like, yeah, you're there. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's wild.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So wild. So, so cool.
We already have our jet. We're going to Italy.
Remember? Yep. It's done.
It's done. Okay.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah. Thanks for the recap.
Thanks for listening. It was a great time. I'd love to go back and take all my friends.
Yes.
Be a good girls trip.
We'll be very oogly.
Oogly. Like ugly. Well, I feel like I've already talked a lot, but I feel like I'm going to flip the script on you today.
Yeah.
Because the topic, we're swinging work instead of woo, and we're talking about brand strategy.
Yeah. We're going to lean work for the next few weeks.
Yes. Yeah. We want to get into the work of it all.
There's so many interesting parts of branding. And I feel like there's like the creativity side of things, which is obvious, right? Like we all know people, who are in branding and like graphic designer, which are different things.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we know that everyone knows the creative side, hence the forever post, how much do you charge for a logo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it goes deeper.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about some of this, in Haley's like full like work episode that we did. But I wanted to talk to you this week more about like the strategy side of things. And now that you're offering just strategy sessions as its own service, I would love to just hear more about it. And yeah, give us a gist of what that entails.
Okay, so my VIP brand strategy days. So I basically pulled, because in my big brand projects, I always start with strategy work and I do a 2-hour workshop. I call it my brand strategy workshop. So I've gotten so much feedback on that workshop because people are like, this was great. I didn't even know I needed this.
It's so like clarifying.
Yes, clarity was like the big buzzword. And then it's the 99%. It's the part that 99% of people skip over.
Yes.
When starting a business.
Yes.
And, you know, the big dogs know this. You have big agencies that do this for them. But the small and mighty that I call our people is, you know, I need a logo. I need a website. I need to go. Like, I need to get going. And so I thought, well, if I could just pull out that workshop and offer a version of that, like a shorter, like VIP experience, that could be kind of fun for those people. And it's been really good so far. I mean, I haven't done a lot, but the ones that I have done, people are very – so basically, yeah, we do – for the VIP strategy days, it's 4 hours. And we do the 2-hour Zoom, usually Zoom. I can do it in person like I did with Britannia. And we go through the workshop together. And then I spend the like remaining 2 hours really like crafting messaging from there and like parts of the brand – strategy that they can then implement.
Yeah. That's so cool. Yeah. So what is involved in like brand strategy? Like I know you just broke it down a little bit, but what is like tell me a little bit more, because I know that there are like a few different methods that you do to help people like get clarity and like workshopping with them to, it's like we all have the answers in us.
Yeah.
And you have to workshop them out to get, and then like you give feedback also.
Yep, exactly. So I always tell my clients, because I send them a questionnaire before we even get started. And I literally dissect their answers. And I'm looking for things, and I tell them, I'm like, sorry if you feel like this is repetitive. It's not, I promise. I'm just really listening to how you verbally say things, because it's different from how you write something. And it's kind of fun. Like, you can get really, I feel like, really strategic in these workshops with personal branding. But if it's not a personal brand, we still get obviously very strategic. But it's just harder because you have to think about something that's an entity versus yourself. So, but oftentimes that comes with even more like pieces of clarity that come out of it, which is like, I love that. My best favorite compliment so far has been Shared City, Kristen. She's like, I genuinely, she'll tell people like, I almost cried when we had a breakthrough moment just by identifying her peak product, like her most simple form of what it is the business is or does. So,
well, can I just say something really quick?
Yeah.
I love how you said it's hard to think about things as an entity and not just yourself. That's so interesting whenever you're like a new, or not even new, but building a business from the ground up, and maybe it's like your first or second. And it is hard because they're your ideas and they feel like, and they are a product of you. But like thinking of, and I remember you doing this with me whenever we did ours, was like, okay, but what are your long-term plans? Like
what are your goals?
Yeah.
What are we doing here? What's the point? Who, the who of it all? Like, I think we talked about that in the branding episode, but like, really, it's so important to, I used to kind of go back and forth between, I actually used to, I did like a reel on this back in the day about like, is it about you or is it about your customer? Like in terms of your branding. And so like, is it 70% your customer and 30% you? In terms of how you're showing up. And now I just know, like, it depends, right? Because sometimes we are our customer. We are, like, avatar. And if you're in that situation, that's also great and gold.
Makes it easy.
Makes it a lot easier.
Yeah.
But when you're not, you have to really ask yourself, like, okay, well, who am I talking to? How do – so then – and it really – strategy to me is all about creating something that people can feel. And like through that, you use like communication. And then you head into visuals after that. So that's kind of like how I view being like in your brand strategy. And I just was looking up before we started like the actual definition of brand strategy because I was like, am I even using this the right way? Like, but I am.
Yeah, of
It's
course.
just funny how we kind of, I didn't learn this in school. So I don't even remember where I mean, probably a Skillshare course or something that I
Really?
came up with brand strategy.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't remember how, but I do remember that week that I took and like completely revamped Moxie that we've talked about in a previous episode, where I did do like 7 days of Skillshare classes, scheduled it like I was back in college. I do remember taking one of those classes and then coming across someone else. Oh, that's what it was. So I was going into one of my very first like big brand projects. And I was like, all right, gotta figure out my process. Like, I don't know. I've never done this before. And like what I was doing was creating the strategy workshop that I now have, but I had no idea. And I was like taking pieces from like the Skillshare course. And then there was like this branding guy that I found on YouTube and, you know, different iterations of their workshops that is now my workshop.
It's so funny because I think about like young summer.
You're
Young.
we're still young,
Yeah.
yes, but yeah, I know.
Well, young or starting my business 2 years ago, summer,
Yeah.
which feels like 20 years ago. Like it feels so
Oh
long
my
ago.
gosh.
And I remember like thinking about, okay, like what, because I built, we've talked about this, I built my own website, I've made a Canva logo. I did, and I actually still have that website that you audited.
You do. Oh yeah, the green one.
And I
Yeah.
went back and looked at it the other day, and I was like, I did pretty good
You did.
for
I
a first
told
website.
you.
Yeah,
I was
it
like,
just
this is
didn't,
clean.
yeah, it didn't
Yeah.
make sense for my brand,
No.
but the design of the website was not bad.
It was good. Yeah.
And but golly, bookkeeping, like I'm like this poor girl.
All summer virtual.
All the things virtual.
My gosh.
And so anyways, I just thinking about like going back to the beginning of that, and like I didn't know the value of branding then, and just how like it's so funny because whenever you and I like met and started working together and became friends, you like leaned so heavy into your brand voice, and I'm like, brand voice, like that's just like that just comes, you know.
Yeah, it's like you don't know. You're just like, I'm just talking,
Right.
right?
It's
Yeah.
just me.
Yeah.
Again, me, not the entity.
Yeah. Yep.
And then it's just funny when you get that clarity and you realize like both things are equally the visuals and the like, I don't know, what do you, and the strategy
Yeah.
are equally as important.
Yeah.
If not strategy, more important because that's what builds the visuals.
Yeah, it's like the intangible and the tangible.
Right.
So, yeah, and it's reminding me of like the conversation we were having today about how our businesses are us. But if you want to grow and scale, I think this is why it's so important to identify just by giving a tone of voice, a name,
Yeah.
because that is how you replicate something. If it's just constantly in our brain, you're not going to be able to, you know, cohesively or clearly like replicate it in enough way to grow your business if you want to have more people than just you doing what you do. So.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I actually just thought about this. So there is a software company I met, this kind of it just popped into my head, so I'm just gonna share. So at Make Your Mark, I met somebody who owns a software company. Her name is Taylor, and the software company is called NGENJI, and it's a marketing software. And it's really interesting because so you basically plan out like your marketing for the year, but you put in, and I need to tell you about the software because it's freaking amazing. I
Yeah.
bought it for the year.
I was gonna say, yeah, this was what you were saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you put in your like marketing strategy, you put in any campaigns that you want to do, your budget, do you like all of your plans for it. It's really, and it's very simple. Shameless plug. But anyways, one of the things that you put in is like your brand voice, your avatar, like you go beyond just your assets.
Yep.
You know, so it's like beyond Canva, anything that Canva could offer.
Yep.
Or, you know, they, I guess, could offer it, but
not in that way.
No. Yeah. And so you put in your brand voice, and it's so cool because when you put all of those things in, it bounces back to you and tells you like a response. So for me, I put in the age group and the demographic of my avatar, and it bounced back and it said, working with small businesses as business is a harder sell, and things can take a little longer because people to small businesses, it's more of an investment.
Yep.
And so it's like, be prepared for more nurturing.
This is crazy because I've had to have that conversation with clients before.
Really?
So now it's like AI is doing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, no, AI? She programmed that into the software because she's a marketer.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's so needed.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, I think when I was starting out in the heavily in the marketing side, you feel like it's all on you to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. And then I'm like, hold on. No, like nobody is going to just off of an Instagram post hire a financial advisor.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Nurture. It takes while.
Yes.
And also, social media can't be your only tactic sometimes.
And no.
I talk about that in one of my talks I give. Like, so you have to have more than one marketing tactic to have a marketing plan.
Yep.
Or a strategy, I guess. So.
Newsletter is huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even just having two.
Yep.
Like, so social media and email marketing.
Yep.
Is great.
Something else that I've learned recently to add to that. Casey went on a podcast. So something that's because – so I love my business coach, Casey D'Amato, so much. Like, I'm obsessed with her. Mm-hmm. And Haley met with her today.
I did. Yeah, she's amazing.
And she's amazing. And so I can't get enough knowledge from her. Like, I just need it all.
Yeah.
So I go on Spotify and just search her name.
I love that.
And listen to all of the
– I do episodes. That to Hillary Burton.
Same thing.
Like, same thing. It's fine.
But yeah, but that's also how I found that crazy James Wedmore. That was
that
wild.
Whole thing. Yeah.
But anyway, I was listening to an episode that Casey did with her client, Shelby, who is in, she owns Damn Good Marketing is the business
name.
That.
Yeah.
I know. And, I was listening to her podcast with them and she said, like, the value of showing your face on Instagram, it's like a Canva post ain't going to do it.
No.
Like, that's not what's going to do it. Nope. It's going to be popping in and talking to your audience and building a relationship with them.
Yep.
And then the Canva posts are just filler for information.
Yeah. Yep. And it's, yeah. So with, and like, I haven't done enough of like actual research on this, but with where the world has shifted, right? Like, it's no longer... First of all, like, we've had this like huge surge in small business, and then now we're having this huge surge in entrepreneurship and like, you know, just getting out and quitting and starting your own thing. And so with that, it's like even more important to be like owning what makes you special.
Yes.
And that's where strategy comes in.
Yep.
Like hardcore. And it's like needed. And I don't think that'll ever go away.
Yep.
And even with – I've had these conversations with Nick. I'm like – or because he'll be like, AI is going to take your job. And I'm like, that's not true because you need – you still need human connection to connect with a human. And so that's one of the things I actually am starting to talk about more with my clients, especially in those strategy days. Like, okay, now you have all these things, like similarly to like what you just did with that marketing platform. Now if you're using ChatGPT to create your content or to give you ideas for creating content, plug in your personality traits and your brand voice. And then ask it to create the post for you and tweak from there.
Massage it by using your brand voice. Casey gave me that advice. And then also at Make Your Mark, they talked about it. They said, if you choose to use ChatGPT, which I'm a changed lady, and I do see that like we're done unleashing and unlocking everything. That like that makes me sick when I see it on post now.
What, people using ChatGPT?
No. Unleash and unlock.
What does that mean?
No one says that. No one says that.
Oh. And
that's the first thing that ChatGPT will tell you to make an Instagram post or an Instagram caption.
Oh.
So you can spot it. Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's funny. Now I'm gonna be looking for it.
Yep.
Really, really, really. Because I'm like, really? Why? We don't have to be fucking freaking poets.
So massage it. So
yeah.
So
use it as a tool yes. to enhance, not to replace. That's what I've always said.
Right. Yeah. So put in what you want, then say, this is my brand voice, this is my avatar, this is who I serve, this is who I enjoy serving.
Yep.
Get that answer, massage it more, go yep. deeper. Mm-hmm. I mean, it helps with brainstorming, but it shouldn't, the first answer shouldn't be the answer.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Because we're all going to be one brand.
I know. It's like, seriously, it's yeah. scary. You're doing yourself a disservice.
Yeah.
By doing something quickly versus doing something with quality.
Yeah.
It's quantity over quality at that point. So, yeah, I think where we're headed to, the strategy portion is almost even more valuable than your logo.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah. So. I mean, yeah, I think it's tricky, right? Because when you start a business, like we've talked about this so many times, when you mm-hmm. start a business, like you're just trying to pull things together.
Yep.
And so, and you need, like the first thing you think you need is that like visual representation of your business, especially mm-hmm. if it's a service-based.
Yep.
Like online business.
Yep.
Website is the first thing you think.
Mm-hmm.
And like everyone has to start somewhere, but mm-hmm. you know, it's so funny because not until meeting you could I even give meaning mm-hmm. to what it was that like, who am I and what am I doing? Not me. Who is Streamful?
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. I know. You know, well, I don't think it's, yeah, I just don't think it's the first thing people think of, as we've already said, but like, I just think it's a growth thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like as we grow into our businesses, we then, you learn, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
That's what we always say. Mm-hmm. So, cause I didn't know it either. I think I kind of knew like on some level, but I think because it's always been in my favor, cause I'm a writer. Like I was telling Casey today, I'm like my first degree is in PR. Like yeah. I'm a writer. Like I'm writing a book. Like mm-hmm. I've always been a very like strong writer
mm-hmm.
and in a very like unique voice.
Mm-hmm.
So for me and my business starting out, that was the first thing I did was write my brand story, essentially, mm-hmm. to come up with my name.
Mm-hmm.
So, but not everyone's like that.
Yeah. And you just don't, like I yeah. said, you don't know what you don't know.
And I don't think there is a lot of content or like a lot of like resources out there that are saying like, this is the way to do it.
No.
So.
Yeah. Because whenever, this is what I was, I think, trying to get at earlier, and then I went off on a tangent. But whenever I first heard branding, like I met Dana
mm-hmm.
or I worked with Dana and she was like, you need to meet Haley. She did all of my branding
mm-hmm.
and she showed me her book.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, this is amazing. But then, you know, your first initial response is, yeah, but I don't need all of that. Like, uh-huh. yep. I just need like my logo and website, yeah. you know?
Yep. Yep.
And then it's so funny because through working with you and like mm-hmm. strategizing through these things, you realize like, oh, I wouldn't even truthfully, like going to a networking event and standing up in front of people and saying what it is mm-hmm. that you're, who your business is, that's what that does for you.
Yeah. We we help you identify that. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. I don't think that people know that about branding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. And there is, so I talked to a person who one time had said basically like they don't focus on that because they want to give their clients something that they can like use and implement right away, which is tangible. Visuals.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, okay. And I've thought about that a lot because I'm like, I get it. That makes sense. So, you know, I've thought a lot about what he said. Yeah, it was a he. And I'm like, basically, because he was like, why, like if we give them personality traits, they're not going to know how to use them. They need something now to get out there and like show that they're professional. And I'm like, okay, I think there is validity to that. But I also, that's why I try to make it my mission to now give like the ChatGPT thing or like more tangible, relatable ways mm-hmm. to implement the stuff that we're working hard to identify.
Yeah.
So it's guides. Not just, yeah. So it's yeah. not just like pretty.
Yeah.
Or it doesn't just sound good. It's like, mm-hmm. no, like I want you to be able to effectively implement this.
Mm-hmm. Be able to take action.
Yeah. With it.
Yeah. Well, I think too, like you said, like, oh, you know, just giving people words or whatever, but
mm-hmm.
like you give people resources to be able to use those words.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
without that, I mean, you know, your brand voice is so important. Hence, like, when I'm creating this marketing plan, the first thing it asks you is, like, who are you speaking to and how are you speaking to them?
Yeah, it's a huge marketing thing.
And then, yeah, and then going through business coaching with Erin, too, same thing. One of the very first things you do is who's your brand avatar? Who are you talking to?
Yep, I know.
So the question to everyone today.
Who?
Who are you talking to?
Who are you talking? That's so crazy that you say that. Because we've had this conversation recently. Anytime, yeah, you're being strategic, you have to have that clarity piece. That's what I always harp on too.
Yeah.
So to be strategic, you got to be clear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To be clear, you got to be without woke. Fear.
Do you think I didn't cover anything?
I don't think so. I think the point is like, think about this. So whenever, if you plan to scale your business to more than just you, if you're a solopreneur and you plan to scale your business to more than just you, what resources are you going to give the people supporting you so that they can speak in your voice or in your brand's voice? Because when you hire someone on, you don't know if they don't know your voice.
Right.
You know, they don't know your brand's voice and how you speak in your marketing and who you're talking to and, you know, what you're like, how you're sharing your ideas with them. And so they have to have a guide to be able to do that for you until they pick up on it.
Yep.
So, but like, these are the things that you should be putting in place now. It's just like, do the things now to set yourself up for success. I did think the hard way, people.
We all did. But we didn't know.
It takes longer for it to pay off.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yes, sometimes. Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Yep. If you don't put everything in place when you're able to.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I think there's a right time for everything. So if you find yourself really like, okay, I love my business concept, I just want to reach more ideal dream clients.
Yep.
Then that's where strategy can come in and help.
Yes.
Basically. And then, yeah, when you're ready to scale and grow.
Yes.
Yay.
Yay. Snaps.
Snaps. But do you have an intention for this week?
My intention for this week is to genuinely just surrender and stop trying to control everything, because it just stresses me out.
Yeah. I feel that. Surrender, manifestation.
Not even just surrender.
Just surrender. Yeah.
Like, let things go. I was listening to James Wedmore this morning, and he was his whole thing is like, effort does not equal like the payout or the payoff.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's been a huge thing that's resonated with me recently. I think from listening to his episode that you sent me.
Yeah.
And then like someone else was listening. Maybe it was Manifestation Babe.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. And so like we were taught that like hours equal money.
Right.
And that's just not like 10x is easier than 2x. It's not the way to do things. So I'm going to lean more into that headspace and just like let things go.
You've been doing so good.
It all will work itself out.
Thank you. Yeah. I feel like I came back from Denmark and it was like a new summer.
I know. It was really weird.
But I think it's nice to see you like in your element.
Yeah.
And you're owning your energy. And that's huge.
Yeah.
So
thanks. What's your intention?
I don't know. I'm trying to think. So we're going to be with family. We have Thanksgiving coming up. I think I need to send you this to listen to. Matt Kahn's Soul Contracts conversation. So he talks about twin flames and soulmates and the differences. And like he just like talked about this like one time, or like basically like you could be in your most like zen, at peace level of your spiritual journey, and you get around like that one family member and it snaps you back, and you're like, ah, and you're like, what is happening? And he's like, that's a twin flame. It's literally like skyrocketing you to like remember, like it's a whole thing. I need to send it to you. So I think that's it's like putting a name to things. Like I feel like knowing that now, that's what happens. I think my intention is to remember that everything has a purpose, and I don't know, just like really like being like a vessel, I guess, for our family and trying to still keep that peace. I think people probably have noticed that I'm changed. I've changed. So, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Okay, well, everyone have a good week. All right.
Bye.
Bye.